When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
You know, Joe has this, every time we come in a film, he shows this video of a picture of a sandcastle. And the metaphor of, you know, you could build the best sandcastle on vacation, and when the tide comes up, it's going to wash it away. And basically, today was a good, you know, good game we won. But when we go in the film Friday, we got to build another sandcastle. And it's a little cheesy, but it's something that we've bought into. And just that, you know, it's a choice that we got to make every day when we come in, you know, trying to be the best version of ourselves.
All right, another episode of the Causeway Street Podcast. I'm Joseph Pavone. Sean Duke is here. Joel Pavone, Boston Celtics, best team in the NBA, best player in the NBA, Jason Tatum, fresh off his season high 49 points against the Miami Heat, closing down the game when the Celtics needed it the most, when the Heat thought they had a comeback in them. Man, they got frustrated at the end of that one, right? Bam Adebayo getting two quick tees, but man, this Celtics team is rolling. Jason Tatum playing out of his mind. Everyone is just across the league right now, just giving him his flowers. And that's how you know it's not even close. Like, Jason Tatum, the best player in the NBA right now, playing like it for sure. And the Celtics continue to win a brand new winning streak. I think they're going to try to get close to that double digits like they did, what, a week ago, a couple weeks ago, not even. So, fellas, how are we feeling about this? About everything that's going on? Is this too good to be true? What was your reaction? I feel like Sean's been a little mellow on social media. At least I figured you'd be more vocal all over Twitter. But
dude,
I guess you're taking it all in, right?
I'm just, yeah, man. Celtics are a juggernaut. It's like there's like I don't know. We've watched the Celtics enough to know eventually like something's not going to go 100% our way. So you know, you just sort of enjoy it while it lasts and see what the hell is going to happen. But it's been probably, I know we lived through like the, obviously the start, I think I brought this up like two episodes ago, like 27-2, that 2009 team, they started the year like best record before Christmas. But like, you know, this is right up there with that. Like, you know, Tatum's obviously the best player in the NBA. You got that right. Like, you sort of get tired of them absolutely wiping the floor with bad teams. But people forget, this team struggled with that last year. When a bad team would come into Boston, they would play down to their level. And they're not doing that this year, which we haven't seen in years. And then you bring a good team in, like the Miami Heat, even though they're injured. Or, you know, the Wizards, who haven't had they've been playing competitive basketball. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what team you put in front of the Celtics team right now. And dude, it's the easiest lock of anybody gambling out there right now is just bet the Celtics money line. That's just bet it. Just hit it hard. And
way to bring it back full circle. Whoa. When it comes to you know, the betting lines, huh?
Well, dude, I'm saying I don't like to bet on this stuff.
Shout out to BOO.
Seriously, yeah. Yo, Sean's like, you got to strike with iron's hot. You got to strike with iron's hot.
I don't like to bet on this stuff, but it's almost too much of a lock right now to not do that. So you may have to start. I may have to start. But, you know, did anyone have any – I mean, I picked them to go 4-0 every week, and I've been looking really like a genius this year.
I think we've all at least once this season have done like the 4-0.
Yeah.
I mean, me personally, I've been doing like the 3-1 because I just feel like there's always like a sneaky team in there. But I mean, taking this all in.
It's because you've been conditioned from last season.
That's what it is. That's what it is. That was gonna be my point here. Like a season ago, right? They because of you know the first 20 some odd games last season, they were barely above 500. Like I think that's crazy to considering everything that's happened, right? Considering how they ended the second half of last season, considering the players they brought in and the players they shipped out, and considering the coaching change, I mean, this is just like you just got to take it all in, right?
Well, also the hardest thing to believe, the craziest part about this whole run, 18-4 start, 22 games into the season, right? You're more than a quarter of the way through the season, and
are we sure about that this time?
And yeah, you're two slices in now. You're two all slices right into the all right. Now you are. Right now, they are the best shooting offensive team of all time with the way their numbers are going right now.
Yeah.
I looked at today and I said, holy shit. Dude, this is pretty shit. Now, I know the Warriors wouldn't have lost the four games right now. Right? They obviously started off a little
Well, once you reach the 120 plateau, like you're chilling there for a bit, like, that's when it's like, wait a minute, we haven't seen this before.
Leading the
even the Warriors, even the Warriors in their heyday,
3-point field goal and free throw percentage.
Free throws, yeah, that one was huge. Yeah. Like right now, like if there were
I always mess this up. The 90-40-50.
Well, that's where they're at right now, though. That's where they're at right now. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
that's insane.
If they sustain that, they would be the first team ever to do
that. That's never been done before, which is
wild.
Yeah.
The best free throw percentage, I think, of any team ever in history, I believe it's like 83, 84%. They're well above that.
Right now they're at 90.
That's even with Jaylen Brown shooting.
40% from the floor, 50% from behind the arc.
Yeah.
Say that again.
I said you're at 90% with Jaylen Brown getting to the line too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what else? Like in some of these wins, like the Celtics are barely getting to the free throw line because they're shooting so well. I mean, a good majority of these wins too, the discrepancy of like you know points in the paint is usually to the opponent, but because again they're shooting so well, you know the offensive rebounds are down, even like their steals are down, but because they're hitting their shots. That's pretty much what it boils down to. That's how good their offense has been.
Right. Those 10 3-pointers in the first quarter, getting back to that big lead. Even though the Heat came right back, it was just still incredible to see the way they were spacing out the floor and just sustain. Like remember the whole zone defense?
That was such a big deal. That's such a problem.
Oh, remember in 2020 during the bubble? Like that was like, man, something's just, they buckle. They can't.
Yeah, that's what Kemba forgot how to play basketball.
Supposed to come in with the curveball and it just didn't work this time. You
know? Yeah, him and fucking Nick Nurse.
And another crazy stat about this team, and this sort of goes to that shooting percentage thing. Do you know that there's only three players that actually play like real minutes on this team that are shooting under 40% from three?
Talking about for the Celtics.
Yes, and you know who they are? Yeah. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart. The rest of the team is shooting 40% or better.
I think
that includes Blake Griffin, Luke Kornet, Peyton Pritchard, Sam Hauser, Grant Williams, Al Horford, Derek White, Brogdon, who's not a historically great 3-point shooter. It's absolutely like what the pace that they're on, man. If they can keep this up, I mean, I'm hope like hey, like I said, you get a little worried when you see these numbers.
No, yeah. You're right. But the crazy part is that they know.
Whoa.
They know that they can still take it to another level, right? And especially because they're not at full strength. They haven't been all season, whether they're giving players night off or whatever, but they haven't been at full strength. And that's pretty much one of the main things that, like, when these players get interviewed after the games, it's like, oh, no, we know we still got work to do. It's whatever. It's a great start, but this is not the goal. The goal is not to to have like the best start in NBA history. It's to fucking win the title at the end of the day. And yeah, that's why Tatum wasn't even all that like oh yeah, I've had 50 before. It's whatever. We got the fucking dub. That's all I cared about.
I think what's most impressive about this too is just like their approach offensively is just so like it's free flowing, you know, just making the right decision, making sure you're sharing the ball, making sure the space is right, cutting, you know, guys picking each other off, everyone just knowing where you're supposed to be, getting back on defense, you know, the fast break approach, just after a miss, at the three passes is a layup. I mean, it's just instinctual with these guys, and it's 1 through 7 or 8. You know, everyone just knowing what they're supposed to do when they check into the game. And of course, the starters, you know, holding down the fort. And like Joel, like you said, you know, guys taking night off, and it's no problem with you. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Malcolm Brogdon, and then Malcolm Brogdon coming right back. You know, hopefully he can you know stay healthy. I thought he was tremendous in that game against the Heat. You know, especially when the Heat came back, it's just those pull up three pointers that they just couldn't. Just weren't ready for it, right? Like he always catches defenses off because whether he's looking for the right pass, making those hockey assists, or just attacking, he just finds different ways to score. He just makes a big difference offensively coming off the bench.
And sometimes like these turnovers are like because they might overpass. Sometimes they might have that one extra pass that maybe they just should have just taken the shot or taken gone in for the layup. You can tell that everyone wants everybody else to eat. It's sharing the ball, obviously. No, you know, so the ball doesn't stick. What is it? What was the Stevens always used to have a phrase for when popping? The ball was popping. That ball is always popping when it comes to like the offense.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, so.
On a couple occasions for saying that. Yes.
Yeah, Mazzulla has been here for a little while, so he's
bro. That's wild.
No, but Mazzulla also has a fucking. What is it? Sandcastle reference here that the players are like, yeah, it might sound corny, but it's like, it doesn't matter what we do on a nightly basis. It's like, gets washed away and we got to, you know, start again. And that's what they've been doing is they don't really harp on individual performances. It's like, yeah, you got Malcolm Brogdon almost nightly when he gets interviewed and his pressers, it's just like, yo, like I've never been on a team like this before. And it's just, ridiculous how Tatum is playing. It's ridiculous how we all get together and everybody's having fun, but at the same time they're not getting too caught up in the numbers, right? And that then the ultimate goal is not lost at the end of the day.
You know what they do say: castles in the sand fall into the sea eventually.
Very true.
It's Jimi Hendrix, man. Jimi Hendrix. You guys didn't even. I don't know. Feel like.
It sounded familiar, but I wasn't sure where it was from. But thank you.
The castles made of sand fall in.
I had no idea.
Eventually.
I'll be honest.
Okay. Well, looks like we're going to have a little sing-along tonight, guys. That's perfect.
It's been a while. We've done that.
Well, yeah, look. This Celtics team finds new ways to win. I mean, that's what's been great about seeing them, how they respond, especially in the second half. They just suck the life out of teams, you know? You can just tell that the other team is just giving up or they're just looking at the scoreboard like, man, I'm down by 6 still, down by 7. I'm doing my best to get back. You know, we're cutting a 14, 15-point deficit down to as much as we can, and we're still not even as close as we want to be, you know? And that's what we saw against the Heat.
That was big. That was the big-time feeling against the Heat because the Celtics started off with such a tear, and then Miami made a run. And I was like, oh, okay. I
mean, even before Miami made their run, though, you could see Bam was like, he looked like Shaq in the fourth quarter, yo. That's how like he was just drenched in sweat.
These guys are exhausted. Like, man, think about it, trying to keep up with the Celtics offense, and you know they had stretches, of course, when they did that. But the Celtics I think
the Heat, you know, they shot well like all night long. I think their outside shooting in there, especially their 3-point shooting, kept them in that game. Like it could have really gotten out of hand. Like really early into that game where they were just like, fuck it, this ain't going to happen. We got to play these fuckers in 2 games. Maybe Jimmy's back by that point. But no, they hung in there and, you know, but the end result, too much Tatum. Even when Tatum had his brief rest in the fourth, Jaylen came in after pretty much sitting out the entire third, like we were saying earlier in the episode. Doesn't matter who's being plugged in there. Like there's people picking up other players of slack and, It's quite nice
yeah,
to watch.
But Derek White did that too. Yeah.
Derek White being back in the starting lineup, like it's funny how like I don't know. Like, I guess it's been different stretches where it's like, all right, we're going to go with Grant in the starting lineup and we're going to have White come off the bench. But I feel like either he's coming off the bench or he's starting. Like, he already knows what needs to be done.
Yeah.
Even though it's two, I guess, different roles, so to speak. But he's like, no, I'm chilling. I know when I got to shoot. I know when I got to take it in. I know when I got to pass. Like, when Derek White is, what he had, like 15-5 or 15-6, when he has that stat that the Celtics, I don't think they've lost when he has at least 15 points or, you know, five or more assists. He's just another piece of the puzzle here, especially in the backcourt, because look at Smart. Smart offensively he wasn't that great. His assists have been insane. He's averaging a career high in assists. But players like Derek White and Malcolm Brogdon that come in and take care of business on both ends of the floor, that, you know, pick up Smart when he might not be shooting as well.
Yeah, I think White's been real. White's been way
better. Yeah, Smart's averaging 7.6 assists this year.
Yeah, wild, absolutely wild, right, dude? That's insane. That's I mean, we knew he could pass the ball.
Yeah, but I think the last like five games has been like, you know, 9 or 10 assists easily for him.
Well, I think that's a smart move on his part, man.
it's the trusting of this team that everyone can fucking shoot, everyone can score.
He's trusting his teammates, and you know what? I think like the Celtics are shooting obviously at a high percentage, but they're all shooting confidently, and I think like Marcus, I think one of the reasons why Marcus Smart always tried to take over games is because he didn't feel like he had those people out there when Jalen or Jason didn't have it to, like, you know, who else would shoot the ball except me, right? Now that they're
dishing,
and here's the result, right? So, gotta love it.
Either one of you concerned about the defense? I mean, they gave up that 120 or 121 against the Heat. You know,
I'm not concerned about the defense, man. I'll be concerned about the defense if we get into like February and we're still giving up however many points we're giving up right now. Like,
even with Robert Williams in the lineup,
I want to see Robert Williams come back. Right. I want to see, because the defense revolves around him. You know, they even though it's been benefiting them on the offensive end, they've been playing small ball literally all year. You know, like, they have had a big man that they've been playing, and, you know, people say what you want about the big man in the modern NBA. You need a rim protector. We've said this for literally 10 years on this podcast. When we didn't have a
rim,
we needed one. And they have one. He's just injured. So once he comes back, man, I think that sort of the defense question, then you can look at it. If Rob's playing 20 minutes a night, 25 minutes a night, and your defense still sucks, then we can start getting worried about it. But I'm not until then.
Sean used to think that Nerlens Noel was the answer.
You did too. Big Nerlens Noel.
I thought Sean was gonna say, actually, that was you. I thought that's what Sean's response was gonna be.
I almost did.
I may or may not have offered up the pick that turned into Jaylen Brown for Nerlens Noel. May or may not.
We can run through a list of players over the years. That's the guy. That's the answer.
That was our rookie season. I mean, that was the pilot season. Okay, yeah. We were a little wacky back then.
Nah, because if you remember correctly,
dude, just like just DeMarcus Cousins and DeMarcus Cousins only.
that was a good move. But anyways, the reason why I didn't go straight at Sway on Nerlens Noel, because I was more on the Jahlil Okafor train at that point.
That was going to be my next guy. I was going to bring up.
Bring that up.
Even worse.
Yeah, you know,
it's like all the guys that started the process, so to speak, in Philly. We're like, yo, why couldn't Celtics fucking, you know, get some, you know, some scouting report on some of these players that Philly got? You know, look how that turned out.
Okafor, dude.
No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. I was excited about that Jalen pick, and I was. Saying Jalen from the beginning too. I was like, look, get Jalen. I was a little on the Jamal Murray train for a bit, and I was just like, nah, get Murray.
You were in the minority. But you were Team Jalen from the get-go.
I just thought it was the Celtics pick. I was like, that's such a Brad Stevens pick. Like, you know, guy who had the athleticism, can guard multiple positions. You know, I was like, that's so Brad. You know, yeah. It's almost the same way I felt about Marcus, too. Marcus, I was like, that's a Celtics pick right there. He's going to be a true Celtics. Yeah, he's going to be the heart, you know, the heart and soul, you know, type of guy.
Brad told Danny, look, I let you get Marcus, right? So let me have Jalen. Like, come on. Like, you work with me here, there, Danny.
Yeah,
work with me here, right?
Yeah, Danny. You don't think Danny was a Jalen guy?
No. I think it was Brad. I think you hit it. You hit it right there in the head.
Yeah, I think.
Oh yeah.
I think Danny.
It was like there was like a party, like a couple of, you know, guys that they had on the board, and Brad was like, "It's Jalen, all right. I let you pick Marcus, and now let me pick Jalen."
Who do you think was the behind Tatum though?
Oh, that was Danny. Yeah. Danny loved Tatum.
Danny,
he scoped that out.
There weren't people talking a lot about Tatum. It was all about Markelle Fultz. It was all about
Fultz would have been. I would have thought that's all Brad.
Yeah.
Excited
for
Fultz.
Who else?
I don't know. He might. I think Brad might have been just as up there with about Tatum. I think they both agreed.
That might have been the one. They were like, all right, yeah, we both agree on that. That's cool. Yeah. You know,
like let's bring Fultz in. Let's just see if we're missing something here. That's exactly what they did. They brought him in and. He had the tour of the garden and everything, and everyone, it was just, man, that was a jack move, man. Like, they sold it perfectly. It was like a marketing thing for the Philadelphia 76ers to be like, oh, they really like that dude. Yeah. Let's get this trade going. Oh, it was,
they knew.
That's one of Danny's fires for sure.
Yeah, they knew the Sixers wanted him real bad. And they were like, they'll fork up anything.
Right.
To get
Danny's him. Like, trust me. Yeah. Like, I can imagine telling, like, everyone, like, they gotta, if we just fucking throw that, you know, we can reel him in easily. If we paint the picture just right, we can reel him in.
And you know what, though?
And going back to our live draft show that night.
That was tough.
That was tough because I remember Sean going, nah, man, it was Fultz and no one else. Even if they did trade the number one pick for the third pick. Like, it should have been Fultz, but, you know.
What were you going to say, Sean?
I was just going to say the whole thing about, I think we did dupe the 76ers, obviously. Dupe me too. But then, like, you also had to have faith that the Lakers were just so incompetent to be at two.
Yeah, that thing was a done deal with the pops and everything.
Yeah.
It was all,
With the Magic, Magic Johnson was in charge at that time, right?
That was a crazy time.
No,
I'm just thinking about the whole thing when he was like all over ESPN and he was all over making these like public appearances everywhere. Why am I drawing a blank right now? What the heck is his name?
That was
Alonzo Ball.
No, the Pops.
Lamar Ball.
Huh?
Lamar.
Lamar or LeVar?
LeVar.
LeVar. Lamar. I was like, wait a minute. This doesn't sound right. Yeah, LeVar. LeVar Ball.
That's Lamar Odom.
They made him disappear. They're like, get out of here.
I think that was the first. That was the off season.
You've done enough.
Yeah, that was the off season that Magic took over, and it was like, they knew, like, we're all in on Lonzo, and Celtics were just like, all right, we're just gonna sit back and we're gonna reap the.
The Lakers literally chose like publicity over, like, because they. Yeah. Oh, we're gonna bring the Ball family to LA. Perfect. LeVar's getting on all these shows, doing all.
They had blinders on. They had blinders on the whole way. Yeah.
Idiots, man. It's wild.
Yeah. So
it's wild, man.
Yeah, but we all know.
So
we all know
the plot lines are insane in the NBA.
Yeah, we all know that Tatum was technically the first pick that season, that off season, that draft. But you know, Danny was like, we're gonna squeeze out not only another pick out of whoever wants this first pick, and we're also going to draft our guy that no one's talking about. Like,
I did.
Do we remember any like workout videos or workout reports on Fultz before that draft? Because I don't.
I heard rumors that he needed work jump shot, but I didn't believe them.
Well, I mean, you had no, a say at the time.
That wasn't really a rumor. People kind of that was documented, but it wasn't like, oh, it's going to be a big problem. It was that's something that he's going to have to develop, but he should.
Then he got drafted, and then there were, like, major reports coming out of Philly, like, yo.
We fucked up.
What? This is what he does? This is the player we drafted, bro? He can't shoot!
And we give him another pick for him? Another pick? What the fuck?
Yo, it was immediate panic. Just reports. Markel fucking shot 1 of 22 from the free throw line at practice. Reworking his whole jumper. It's like, yo, he's the number one pick.
And he looks over and just everyone's just staring at him. Like, I can imagine.
Yeah. The dude was just like, whoa, I fucked up, man. Yeah.
Mind you, while he had his nice tour in Boston, you know, taking pictures here and there, different parts of the city, Angel's like, yeah, we're not working this dude out at all. We just want people to think we're going to pick this dude and we're going to pull it. We're going to pull a fast one on everybody. And that's exactly what Danny did. And at the same time, you know, you got to think about in Philly over the last 5, 6, 7 years, only Joel Embiid is the only guy that's hit for them. And out of their whole, you know, trusted process, you know, era.
That's the thing. Right. Like you can't like the Philly. The thing about that Philly thing is they couldn't have tanked better than they did. Yeah. And set themselves up better than they did. But literally, they're at the same spot as they were before they tanked. You think of those Drew Holiday teams. Like, what was that score that gave us a bunch of – pushed us a 7 in 2010?
Yeah, it was Evan Turner was on that squad.
Wasn't
Elton? Wasn't Elton Brand on there?
Elton Brand was, but there was another player.
Yeah, I don't think he was the guy.
But basically, they had that.
No, squad. You're thinking of who is it? Yeah, but go ahead.
But they had that squad that was like competing. Then they broke it all down. They sucked for 3 years. They got two number one picks. They got the best player in a draft at number 3 with Embiid. They
He was out for a season, right? He didn't even play his rookie year.
Yeah. They let him sit out, so then they got the number one pick again the next year.
And then they got Simmons, and they let him sit out a season.
And then they got then they sucked again, and they got the number one pick. Dude, it's just...
Like, they played it perfectly. And it's not like they have, you know, James Harden from, like, you know, 10 years ago. It's like, it's an older James Harden now.
But what I'm saying is, like, that's why you don't fucking tank. Because, like, if you had just tried... With that team that you had, like...
Just build around it.
You could have built around it with pieces you know are in the NBA versus that, like, spin the fucking wheel, not picking good people or you don't... Or just picking people that you don't know are going to work in the NBA.
And you're just trading like them. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's see what's next for the Celtics. Let's look ahead. Sean's favorite segment.
Hey, we're looking ahead. Looking
hot.
Everybody
knows
that
look
ahead. All right.
That was good.
That might be a keeper. That might be the one.
I'm in a move for a Kit Kat bar, but yeah, I feel you.
Wow, shots fired. Yeah, man. He's saying you're ripping off someone else's jingle, man. You gonna do that?
We're looking ahead. Looking ahead.
He's gonna
do
it up now.
Looking ahead.
Yeah, we'll go with the first one.
All right, man. I just tried to get a little raw, get a little dirty with the second one, but whatever.
Guess what we got, bro?
Miami. In Miami. Back-to-back homers against Miami?
That 6-game in a homestand that we just talked about last week. What are you? What's going on here, bro?
I just thought we wrapped up with first time.
Is this thing on? Come on.
Anyways, Miami at home. I wonder if the Royals are going to be showing up to this one, huh? I heard the Royals tried to get Jason Tatum with a Royal threesome that night, and he declined politely.
He said, I'm going to pass. I got daddy duty.
I'm glad that Gorman was on the call last night, because if Sean Grandy got a whole Royal.
Oh, boy, here we go.
He would have spit out on TV about Jason Tatum's playing like royalty tonight. stupid. How many times would he have said that shit?
How do we let Sean get away with a whole episode, a whole damn Causeway Street episode without bringing this up about his wild night on Twitter?
I thought you were gonna pull his card on that one, so I gave you that.
Me?
Yeah.
I thought that have you written all over it. You kidding me?
Hey, I stand.
Let's tell the public what happened.
No, I mean the fact that Granny responded and Sean didn't.
Explain yourself. That's what I'm saying. Explain yourself.
And behind my comment about my whole thing with Sean Granny is.
By the way, y'all both spelled your names the same way. How do y'all have beef with each other?
It is Sean on Sean hate, yeah, but
the best way to do it too.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. But I don't know, man. Like I can stomach him on the radio because normally I'm listening to like one quarter in the car as I'm trying to drive.
Stomach him.
Or like he's
the goat on the radio.
Yes. Okay. So this is what I'm saying. I don't listen to an entire basketball game on the radio. I listen to 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes tops driving somewhere to go watch it on TV and then listen to Gorman. So then if you're shoving Sean Granny down my throat for four fucking quarters, I just can't do it. It's too much. I can't. Like, it's way, like, it's not. And you know what? Like, it.
What do you view? You feel like you're not home yet? Like, you're still on the road?
I just feel like he is not a four quarter announcer. I can deal with him for the 10 minutes that I need him.
For like half a quarter?
Yes. But like Sway, you remember this.
Yeah, he paints the picture with his brother. Go watch it. No, we were listening to his call when the Rondo and Heinrich fight broke out during that series against the Bulls. Yeah, that's right.
Because I believe
and the way he said it too, and we got what did he say? And we got fist swinging. Rondo throws through a punch. You were like, oh shit! Like, you're going nuts, bro. You're losing your mind. Right?
That's all.
And he painted that picture for you, Dutra. He painted that picture for you.
But listen, like Rondo was throwing punches. Let's go. We were like, let's go.
But listen. This is my thing. Grandy, you shouldn't be on TV.
He's going to get himself suspended. I was all worried. Sorry, go ahead.
Grandy shouldn't be on TV. Now, let's put it down. You go lay it out there. He shouldn't be on TV. I can't deal with it.
Well, then.
It's an adjustment. I don't know. I think it's an adjustment. But I mean. It's just, yeah, you're so used to it because he's been doing it since we were kids. You know? You used to him on the radio.
I actually did see Mike Gorman the other day at Faneuil Hall when I was driving. He was crossing the street, rolled down the window. Should give a Mikey shout out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, man. I the light turned green and he was walking by. I wanted to be like, hey, yeah, Causeway Street. Yeah, but I was like, ah.
He's like, what? No, I'm not on Causeway anymore.
I gave him the Mike Gorman. That's awesome. Shut up. And he was like,
and then, he was like, what? I was like, he stuck his hand up, like, yes.
That's awesome. Oh, man.
Yeah, man.
The show right there. All right, man. So, we're going to look ahead. What are we doing?
We going to look ahead.
No, this dude got the soundtrack down, but he doesn't have a script.
All right, we got Miami. And then Sunday, we travel all the way to the windy city of Brooklyn. Wonder what Jaylen Brown's going to be doing that day.
Oh, boy. Are you making a reference to what happened outside the Barclays Center show?
I am making a direct reference to see who's going to show up to support Jaylen Brown outside the Barclays Center. I just want to see what happens there, you know?
He made a mistake. He admitted he made a mistake. God damn it. But real quick.
What were you laughing about before that? Yeah.
No, I was about to say real quick. The multiple tweets at Sean Grandy only got one response, right? From one. And this is the one that Granny responded to from Dutra. Luke Kornet is a better NBA player than Sean Granny is an announcer. And Granny responded with, you know, like hours after the game ended, Luke's going into the Hall of Fame too, with a question mark. Awesome. Now I'm just hoping that we're going in the same year and nothing from Dutra.
Now, that came in at 1:30 a.m., I think. Okay.
1:19, yes.
Little does Sean Grandy know that I was certainly drinking and fell asleep. So if you're gonna tweet at me before midnight, bro.
But okay? a bunch of you know, Grandy supporters here was Sean the GOAT, our dude.
No. That is not a Grandy one. That's a Sean Dutra one. Sean the GOAT. That is for me. Bro, that ain't a, that's against Grant.
It says light him up, bro. I don't know.
I lit him up. I lit him up.
All right. Okay. All right. How about this one here that they spell his name out completely? You rock, Sean Granny. Always enjoy listening to you on the call.
Yeah, that's his burner account. He called himself out, dude.
At Maine Red Sox. All right, whatever.
Yeah. You know what? funny? You know what's funny, Sean Grandy?
I'm just laughing because I'm in the press room waiting for Joe, because Joe Mazzulla to come out and Bobby's like, "Yo, why is Sean getting at Grandy?" And I was like, "What?" the first thing I thought was he's talking about the same person. I'm like, "What are you?" And I thought, "Oh man!" Like after like 2 seconds, I was like, "I know what Sean's talking about." Like he hit me like a stack of bricks. I was like, "Oh man."
Yo, I deleted, I did go at him very hard, and then I deleted those tweets because I was like, that was inappropriate, man. I should. then I immediately put the Luke Cornett.
That's when they were playing. That's when the Celtics played the Pelicans. That's when you just went ham on him that day.
Yeah, man, I definitely went too hard at him to begin with, and I deleted it. I was responsible. I said, you know,
this is one of my favorites. Sean Grady doesn't go into locker rooms for interviews because it's, quote, icky. I didn't finish reading it before Ducho started dialing.
What is wrong with you?
Yo, tell me these aren't fun.
Grandy is that kid that never ate anything but grilled cheese or Kraft mac and cheese. We all wanted to call him a fucking weirdo, but we felt bad.
Okay, see? That was too harsh. I deleted it. I deleted it.
You didn't just stop reading. I'm reading it right now. What the fuck are you talking about?
Did you even text the group? Like, you just went freaking rogue.
No, I texted one of those tweets that I think that you deleted.
Not that I want you to check in with us or whatever, but I figured you would be like, hey, by the way, like, I'm not failing this call by drawing Grant. I don't like when Granny does the game.
I don't know, man. I don't know what it was. I just Granny.
Aggressive.
Plus, nothing personal, but I went too hard at him.
Plus, you were shitting on Alvarado that night as well. Yeah, man, it was aggressive. It was aggressive.
I could see you cackling as you're like typing as you're tweeting. It's so excited to hit send.
And then of course,
just beaming after you sent the tweet.
And then of course, after the win, Celtics win 9 in a row on Friday. Day, night, as he retweeted the, I think you should leave reference.
That's probably because I was drinking and then I was just happy.
Oh, man. I swear, I heard like Bobby's voice as I read the text, like, why is he getting out? Like, as if he was whispering it to me, like in the press room.
Like Grandy was right next to me. Why is he getting out? Yo, have you seen this, bro?
I'm walking into the United Center. Who's the first person I see? Freaking Grady. I'm like, who?
Dude, you should have been like, no, wait.
No, I said, hey, what's up? No, I was like, hey, what's going on? But it's just funny in my head. I'm just like, oh, look what it is. Like, hey, what's up? He was like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, oh.
Yeah, man. You know what?
I wasn't going to be like, hey, man, like, that was crazy night between you and Ducha. Like, I don't know what you want me to say.
All Ducha's tweets are his own and nothing to do with Causeway Street.
Let's get him on.
I'm sure he's
he can't wait. Yeah.
I'll set the record straight. You know what?
Of all the things that he could do at this time, he wants to check in with Causeway Street.
Can I tell you when my tides turned?
The guy with drunken Twitter fingers.
Yeah.
I went at him.
Yeah.
When the tides turned for me and Grandy.
Maxwell's gonna have him on.
With that stupid, you know the stupid podcast that he does when he's on center court in a leather jacket with his arms folded like a fucking loser? That shit just stinks in my head. Like, what is wrong with you, dude? Like, yo, you have felt.
But nothing personal. Yeah, I get it. We get it.
This isn't an 80s crime show that you just solved the murder somebody, dude. Like, you are having a Celtics podcast. What's with the leather jacket? It's not tough. Like, what are we doing here? You know what I mean?
That's his style. If it'd be somebody he's not, like, what's the point? Well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that's how he is when he's not at work. Like, I only see him at work. He doesn't drink out of the garden. I don't know if you see, well, even if when he wasn't on TV, well, he dresses the same way. What you see on TV is what you saw all the time, you know, when he's doing the radio, the call on the radio.
It's like, okay, you know, like, I don't.
So maybe that's his look outside of work. I don't know.
I don't need edgy Sean Grandy. Like, he's about to say a stat that could be taken the wrong way. You know what I mean? Like, no, I don't need that, man. Like, you're not that guy. Like, just be the stat nerd radio broadcaster that you are. And just like,
but it's different on TV, bro, because you're like, you're seeing what's going on.
Versus you're the Bill Burr of freaking Celtics Twitter, bro. I swear, you were the Bill Burr of Celtics Twitter.
How are you?
Like, everything just pisses you off.
No, the folding the arms in the leather jacket, that got to me, man.
Well,
that
I mean, look, bro.
That's a Burr line right there,
bro. When Gorman hangs it up, bro, he's taking that seat. Unfortunately, bro.
Now let me tell you this. Mike Gorman, on the other hand, when I saw
him. I'm not saying you're like copy Bill Burr. No, this is you, but like, you know, it's just that bad.
Mike, the other night when I saw him, you know what? You know what he was wearing? You know what he was wearing?
Leather jacket.
Oh, leather.
There you go, and bro. You know what?
He had his hands in his jacket. He was walking like a regular human being, dude. He wasn't trying to be cool or like, you know, doing. He had if you're going to wear a leather jacket, that's how you wear it.
Even though he probably gave me the head nod, too, huh?
What is it going to be? He's trying to be cool. That's just his thing. Which game is he called?
Nothing personal.
All right, what's next? Okay, you said Bulls. Okay, I mean, not Bulls.
The Nets.
You got me thinking about the United States, which is incredible, by the way.
So it was like, he usually gives me a pound. He just gave me a weird look that night, and I'm like, fuck. He barely gave me a head nod. I'm like, hey, what's up, man?
See, because
Maxwell was like, yo, like, what's up with you and Grady?
Yeah,
that's true.
I don't think it's rocket science.
In New Orleans, they sat like, I don't know, never mind. What am I talking about? Max sat right next to me, but obviously he was down by the court, my man. But
see, if he was really about that leather jacket life, bro, he would have confronted you. You know what I mean? He'd be like, yo, what's with your boy? Dude, that if he was
what is he, Fonzie?
I know, right? Hey.
Yeah. Is he Fonzie about to call me out? He's going to go Harley Kiner on me?
That's sort of the United Center?
He's just smacking his fist like, come on, man. What's good with your boy, man?
The podcast with Mark D'Amico, Amanda, I always mess up her last name.
Flugarn.
Yeah. Flugarn.
I think it's Abby. I thought Abby does.
Oh, it's Abby. Yes, even worse.
Yeah. It's Flugrad, by the way. Flugrad.
No, I know, but that's how Sean says it. Flugrad.
I normally say ploof something.
Ploof, yeah. See, she should be doing that. She should be doing the games when Gorman's not there. Yeah.
Yes, I would.
Oh no, you're onto this thing too, man.
Yeah, man. I love her. No. I'm not saying that Grandy's like horrible, like Sean thinks he is, but like. Yeah. You know, for someone who works for the station, like bringing Amanda in there, I think she did a good job the very few times that she's been in there.
You know what?
But I think it's probably Scal. Scal just can't work with women. Scal just treats women like shit. That's what it is.
Well, I think you could bring. Oh no, that's very true.
He's not that bad with me either. He's just really bad with Abby. Come on, I can't just say women. You think so?
Well, I mean, I don't know, man. I think a lot of,
like, give it some time.
Yeah, I think a lot of women.
He's just getting used to her. Right? Give it some time.
Yeah, I think a lot of women and that work at NBC Sports Boston, like, yo, I like Scal as a whatever, but like, yo, he be talking out of his ass sometimes when it comes to the women.
But like, let's be honest. Amina is like 400 times more knowledgeable than Abby Chin, dude. Like, she at least understands basketball.
Yeah, but we already know why Abby Chin still has her job, bro. Come on. Am I the only one that sees it?
What, Celtics Twitter? What do you
Yeah, getting? Well, that's one reason, but like, you know, just...
Yeah, because they brought her back. I remember you. Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, she's so cute. Like, what she, you know, even when she fucks up, like, multiple times a game.
Hey. I'm not hitting on all the Celtics broadcasts.
Like, she was doing that thing that you said that you thought Grandy would have done.
Yeah, yeah. What the heck is this turned into?
With the Royals. She's like, oh my God, I'm freaking out over here, you know, I'm geeking out. And she couldn't even get fucking Tatum's, you know, stats right when he was interviewing him at the end of the game.
Yeah. If I had to pick a replacement for Gorman,
Tatum dropped the season high 49.
You know what? I say you bring Drapes back, Drapes and Scal. Calling the Celtics games. That's what I want to hear.
Well, that's not going to give Drapes an ill house like he has out in Sacramento. He ain't coming back, bro.
Dude,
doing pretty good for himself out west.
He's now a play-by-play guy out there, which he always wanted to do here.
That's what I'm saying.
I think he likes his new surroundings.
Yeah, I think he likes his new digs out there by the fucking ocean.
No, this, the like, This is like when Josh McDaniels coached the Broncos for a little bit. They were like, hey, go try that thing out, and then you come back when you're ready, Drapes. And when the Celtics thing opens up, now he's going to have a couple years of play-by-play on him.
Yeah, but
Drapes,
that's two cold cities. Like, you know, he's out with, you know, 70 degrees every fucking day.
Yeah, but if you're the Celtics versus the Kings, and the Kings haven't made the playoffs.
The Kings are actually doing something, you know, better than they have been over the last, like, 20 years.
And how they do against the Celtics.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's different.
Trust me. Yeah, but I've been a Pistons Kings guy on League Pass. You know this.
Oh, well, then you should know. You should know above both of us how good the Kings are this year compared to other years.
Hey, Celtics got Miami, and then they go on a 6 game road trip, starting in Brooklyn and then Toronto. And then Wednesday, December 7th, the Celtics travel out to the great state of Arizona to take on the second best team in the NBA, the Phoenix Suns, with probably the second biggest MVP candidate, but no one likes Devin Booker, so he's not going to get any.
Shout out to you, Tunis.
Oh, what do you mean?
Like, I watched NBA today. That's like my 3 p.m. thing. I'll put on NBA. Oh, it's sort of like Tatum. It's a lot of love for Durant. A lot of love for Durant, because he's being actually sort of his most efficient seasons he's ever had. I think he's 5% from the field, like crazy. But it's Tatum, Durant, Giannis. And if there's anyone from the Western Conference that's going to get in that MVP conversation, it's SGA. Because they love SGA. Like, the media loves that dude. Like, and deservedly so. But it's sort of just like a hipstery pick at this point where Devin.
Yeah, but you know. Yeah, I was gonna say, but you know what the record stands to something, man. They're not there yet. I think that's what's hurting Luka too. I think that's why Luka is not gonna be able to take that lead if this team doesn't do the same, you know. But at the same time, you also can't forget about Joker. I mean, he's gonna be in the conversation. Everyone's thinking that he can't win it, but he can't possibly win it again. But he's gonna be in the conversation if the Nuggets continue to play this way. But you know, Booker's gonna be there. But again, the Suns gotta remain doing that. And I think they do. I think look with the way that they're playing right now, without Chris Paul. Guys like Payne stepping up. He was on a tear. It kind of cooled off a bit, but he was on a tear not too long ago. He's been, you know, that's the thing. It's always been about the depth with the Suns, right? Obviously, Devin Booker is a huge part of that, but also, you know, for them to be doing this without Chris Paul, I think it's impressive. It is. And Booker's been leading that team.
Well, I think Booker's on this, like, hey, like last year, you guys only wanted to give Chris Paul MVP votes. Like, it was actually me, dude.
Yeah. Well, what you got?
You know what?
Do I have to ask?
I'm gonna say fucking 4-0. They're.
Oh baby, 4-0. You know what I got?
They're in the stride right now.
Just so everyone knows how correct I've been on my picks this year. I'm 18-4. I'm 18-4 on the season. So
fuck. You don't say.
Yeah, man. Only 4 wrong picks out of 22. That's really.
And that's how you got a couple of streaks in there because the 9-game winning streak. You did well for yourself there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going 3-1. I'm going 3-1.
Yeah, that's usually what I've been doing too, but I'm going to stick with the 4-0 this week.
Who they losing to, Sway? Who they losing to?
I think the only time I said 4-0 was
who they losing to?
Would you say, Sean? I'm going to say, I kind of want to say the Suns, honestly.
Really?
I don't know. I think they'll be a little laggy, you know. It's in Phoenix. They're playing Brooklyn Sunday, and then where are they going after Sunday?
Toronto.
Toronto, that's right. That's what it is. Toronto, and then you're shooting all the way down to Phoenix. That's, I don't know. But again, that's going to be it's going to take a great effort out of the Suns. I don't think it's going to be one of those things where, like, you know, they mop the floor with them because they're so tired, but They might just fall short just because of that. But yeah, I think that's the toughest part of the schedule because after that they're out west and it's Warriors, it's Clippers, Lakers. I mean that part I think is going to be they can sweep that for sure. But I don't want to get too far. You know, I know you're on dude against Joel.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't.
Oh, not yet. We can't. Yeah. He's right there. He can't hear us now.
Yeah, we can't even talk about the game.
I'll put it this way. If you if there is going to be a time that, like, you know, 3-1 is okay, it's when they start a 6-game West Coast road trip. Like, you always want to at least go 500 on those things, right? But this
This month is huge for the Celtics. I mean, you start playing, you know, some of these teams that are considered, you know, elites. You know, we just talked about the Suns. You know, this is the first time they're about to play, you know, the Brooklyn since last spring, and going to be interesting with the. It was weird, by the way, 6 games straight at home, and now 6 straight games on the road. That's weird. I don't know who the fuck did that, but anyways, the next several weeks between now and Christmas, it's gonna, you know, I think really define this squad here as like, oh, it's not like a fluke. This first like 22 games, and you know, maybe you got Time Lord back in the lineup there sooner rather than later.
I would,
yeah. Every, and I think every draw, I think every team has that sort of messed up, you know, that tough, you know, patch throughout the season in terms of traveling and that long road trip. I mean, every team does have that long road trip, but they also have that strong, like, that long stretch where, you know, you're going from Toronto to Phoenix, and at the same time, that's why they did these little mini series, you know, which I think is great. You know, the two teams go back and forth, whether it's home and home or away, you know, it helps both teams, you know. I think it definitely cuts the travel down, which is the purpose.
All right, there it is. So let's see. I'm at an 81% clip right now, bro.
We get it, Sean. We get it.
I guess we gotta give it to him, you know.
But you're right.
He's come a long way.
But he's just looking at the Celtics record and he's saying, oh, you know, I'm at 81, almost 82%, you know, clip here when it comes to predictions.
That Phoenix game, that's a must watch. That's a number one versus number one. That's a big game, man.
No, it's gonna be huge, and you know, Tunis is gonna be talking his shit regardless. So that should be good.
Yeah, that's always fun. All right. About that time, fellas. Time to wrap up the show, where we wrap up every single show here on Causeway Street. We take our trip around the NBA with Joel, in case you missed it.
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 Joel, what we missed?
It's like when Tatum, you know, went out for 49, and then not even 20 minutes later, it's like Tim texts us, hey guys, yo, Booker's going off tonight. Yeah? I'm like, yeah, so did fucking Tatum. He's like, yeah, he's got 51 and he did it in 3 quarters. I had nothing to say to that. It's like, all right, okay, 2 more points and
we've seen
and less than a quarter. It's all good. It's all right. Against a team that the Celtics can't fucking beat, the Bulls, but it's all good. It's all good. I digress. All right, in case you missed it, the NBA informed teams that the 2023-24 season will start on October 24th of 2023 and conclude on April 14th of 2024. Now, the reason why I bring this up is because if a in-season tournament is approved, which that could come down in the next like few weeks or a few months, the initial schedule will have 80 games per team instead of 82, meaning that the remaining games scheduled after the 8 teams advance to a knockout round. So I don't know how you guys feel about that. I like the play-in that they've done the last few seasons, but the in-season tournament in the middle of the season, I don't know, I think that's kind of weird. That's just my 2 cents.
I think it's a little knocking it down to 80 games, man. I don't know if I like that.
You're getting more basketball though between those. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you don't want to just like add more. I mean, that's always been sort of a hot button topic in terms of like how they don't stretch the games out as much as some teams would like. You know.
Yeah, but then you know, like I don't know. You got records, like if they add more playoffs games, and cool, but like that then means like all those season records that we look at is like, okay, not going to be matched now. Like it's just sort of like, I don't know, 82 games seems, I just think it's a little bit strange to cut the season down.
Well, I mean, the first year they did the play-in, right? It was what, 72 games because they just came off of the bubble season, and then everything was shortened for the offseason.
Yeah. Strike shortened seasons, which is like every once in a while.
So you had like the Wizards who won like 28.
Everyone had like four games, four games a week.
Yeah, but you had like the Wizards who won like 28, 29 games get into the play-in, but because there was less than 80 games, right, less than 82 games, then that's, and then you have that discrepancy where it's just like, well, then you don't have to play hard during the season and just, you know, go nuts if you're close to the end of the season to get in the play-in.
I call this, I think this is the Brooklyn rule. Like, it's the LeBron James, Brooklyn Nets rule. Like teams that are stacked that now can take the regulars a little bit less important.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
I get a little worried. So that's what I'm trying to say. Like, you got the regular season records that have been like, you know, when the Warriors, say what you want about it, but when the Warriors are trying to beat the Bulls record, that was like sort of must watch TV. You were like, oh, okay. Like, are they going to beat it? Like, and then, you know, you got scoring records, all those things. Like, okay, huge. But like, now also, if you cut it to 80 and then you add more playoff teams, then what is February basketball going to look like? What is December basketball going to look like? Like, when teams start to try to turn into form, they're going to be like, yeah, we'll just wait for like, we're 15 and 17 going into the new year or whatever it is, right? It's not a bad start to the season. We just got to win 10 more games. We're in the playoffs, and if we have stars, we can rest them. Like, it doesn't help that whole rest your stars thing.
No, you're right. But then you have what we're currently looking at in the West, at least, where you got like 5 or 6 teams all, you know, clustered together, and they all have like the same record. And you have, instead of like 10 teams that can potentially make the playoffs, you have like 12 or 13. Even the Lakers, who are under 500, can potentially still make the play-in.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, man.
Same thing with the Mavs. Even the Warriors, who are, they're great at home, but they they've sucked on the road. They're under 500, and they're like, you know, no one's worried about those teams because they're like, oh, you got the play-in, or you know, they can still make the play-in.
My biggest thing then is like, if you're going to cut down the regular season, you're going to add more playoffs teams, you have to incentivize teams to win. Like, give them a bye in the real first round. Like, give teams a bye in the playoffs. Like, yeah. You can't, because then, like, then you're saying, like,
so maybe that's okay, what the in-season tournament would do then. Maybe. I don't know.
No, I think that would be its purpose, you know, and to limit, you know, essentially tanking, right?
Yeah.
So our team's purposely tanking.
Yeah, but if then like,
I don't know how I feel about it. I really don't. I gotta see how the whole thing.
Yeah, if you
would be a lot to get used to.
Yeah, if you're just saying, oh, in season tournament, and you're just, you know, you're not, you know, providing exactly what goes into it and what would be the purpose of it, then it's just like, all right, so you just want more basketball for it to be more, you know, revenue from TV, and what's the whole purpose? Yeah.
What is this? I like, great. Like, if you want to make must-see basketball in February, fine. But what is the end result? What's the purpose? Is it relegation? Is that what we're talking with? Like,
maybe that's, you know, like a G League team comes up and then an NBA team goes down. Who knows?
But the thing is about those teams.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, they that's something that
they're discussed. Yeah.
Like you've been, you could go to the second division. You could, if you're not cutting it.
Go to AAA. You're going to AAA.
But then.
You're not cutting it up in the majors, you know?
But then you have to, then the thing that you get into, the thing that doesn't work about that is like, let's talk about the players like Wayamba right now. So his team wins the G League tournament, and then he's supposed to be the number one overall pick. So they lose then Wayamba into the draft to the number one, or they keep him?
That just means that it's not a foregone conclusion that he's going to one team or one or two teams. He could go to a fucking, you know, a third, fourth, or a fifth team that like just happened to.
If you're relegating Joel and you're bringing up a G League team, then you have to lose all affiliation.
No, I'm just saying in general with this in-season tournament.
Well, yeah, but that one and done season would be separate.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd still be up for grabs. It's not like they're gonna retain his rights because. Yeah.
What team? Or the Vipers or some shit? What? I don't fucking know what team are in the G League. But like, let's just hypothetically say the Vipers win the G League tournament, but they got two or three guys that are actually drafted by the, I don't know, Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
That then the Thunder get I don't know, regulated, and then the two or three guys that are actually owned by them move on to like, where do they go? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I got you. Yeah, there's a lot of things to work out. I get it.
Regulation can happen, so that whole talk is bullshit. And then also the other side of things, mid-season tournament means that like a team that hasn't tried all year may automatically make it to the playoffs because they won four straight games in a tournament series. Like, that's a little bit, it's a little bit risky to mess with. So whatever they're going to try to do.
Well, I think they're trying to eliminate with Swayze. They're trying to eliminate tanking, and they're trying to eliminate, you know, so much, I guess, you know, time, or what is it? Management or rest, you know, whatever.
Here's what they should do. They could make it so that, you know, if they're going to get must-watch basketball in February, you need to give a $5 million bonus to everyone on the team that wins the championship or wins the mid-season championship tournament, whatever it is. And then they still don't make the playoffs, but they all get $5 million. And then, you know, you're then going to incentivize players away from tanking when the owners do want to tank. That's how I would do it. And just throw a ton of money at the players. And then even the guy that fucking makes $60 million in his contract or $160 million, whatever, they won't really care too much. But then you're going to have those bench players that are fighting for a contract that sees $5 million as like a come up, dude. That makes those teams play a lot better. So I don't know. I don't know how they do it, but I just feel like if you're messing with seeding, if you're messing with the draft, if you're messing with all those things that have been sort of an institution for a while, with a random in-season tournament, you're playing with fire.
All right. We shall see. In case you missed it, the Dallas Mavericks have signed former Celtic Kemba Walker, and they have made room on their roster by waiving Facundo Campazzo, according to The Athletic.
Dude, you upgrade Kemba Walker. That's a huge up. That's a huge swing for the Mavericks. That's great.
Yeah, that's a great pickup. Obviously, he's not going to play right away. He's got to get into game shape, and you know, good for him. That's a good look.
It's good to see Kemba latch onto a team. Magical, for sure.
Yeah. All right. In case you missed it, Al Horford has agreed on a 2-year extension, $20 million, to stay with the Celtics, which means that he will be here through his 39th birthday, according to his agent.
He's going to retire as Celtic.
I think that's a great, you know, friendly deal. It works for, you know, both sides. I got nothing negative to say about this extension.
The biggest thing for me about this is like, okay, you get him on a good price.
Which, by the way, real quick, it's fully guaranteed.
Yeah.
And it's got a trade kicker.
So that's the thing. It's like, if you're going to give him that type of deal and he's going to be here, good. Glue guy, you want him here. But that's $10 million. When you got Grant Williams coming up on an unrestricted free agent deal, that's going to affect Grant Williams more than anybody. So are we now...
No, are you going to be sad if Grant Williams goes bye-bye?
A little bit. Yeah.
Bro, this deal here doesn't affect the cap if you're thinking that, because they're way over the cap. They're thinking like it's whatever. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, especially if they win the championship, they're like, we'll fucking, you know, we'll give Grant a good offer. It's not like they're not gonna give him anything.
Yeah, but
or offer him anything.
Here's the thing, is like Grant, I think, is obviously playing really well this year, right? Played really well last playoffs. I think he's built himself up to be like, some team's going to go stupid. But, like, if you they will. They'll try to – but that
yeah. – I mean, like, if you see if he has the same kind of run he did during the playoffs, I mean, something like that, or if he just sustains being that guy who can stretch the floor for you and you can rely on for threes, and yeah, there's a –
I mean,
the teams will pay for that. But I don't know about this $20 million. Do you think he's in the $20 million range? Do you think he hits that? I don't know about that.
Let me just put it this way. Maybe. But let me put it this way. Would you rather have a 38-year-old Al Horford at $10 million or 26-year-old Grant Williams at $15-17 million? Like, now you're sort of putting yourself in that decision-making process of like, well, I guess, like, now we can't really, if a team does go, if let's say a team, because he's unrestricted, right? So we saw what happened with, who was the guy that, what the hell was his name? Who's the unrestricted guy? Bogdanovich, right? When the Kings and when the Hawks stole Bogdanovich, they stole him because they said, we're going to give him $20 million a year. And the Kings were like, oh, shit. Well, like, we literally can't match that now.
Well, he, remember, over the cap. No, but remember, he had gotten traded to Milwaukee, and some tampering happened there where that didn't go through. So then the Hawks kind of just swooped in there and was just like, well, man, if he's not, you know, going to get signed by the Kings.
Yeah.
You know, but then they just kind of gave him not a ridiculous offer, but like something that the Kings were just like, right, whatever, just fuck him, just take it.
But we've seen it time over time, man, where you know what, who I'm thinking of? DeAndre Ayton. Okay.
Right.
DeAndre Ayton got that huge offer, and then the Sun, they had to match it.
Yeah.
So now you're thinking like Grant Williams, okay, talk about Al Horford being the glue piece leader of the team. I totally agree with that. Grant Williams has sort of moved himself into that, like, he's a vital role player on this team. Grant Williams injured, this team isn't playing as well as they're playing right now.
But if he's not, but though with the Suns are offering him a lot more than what they essentially Aiden essentially got, right? I think they want to similar to the Suns. The Celtics want to dictate what he can get out there in the free agent market, right?
Yeah, I think they're confident. Not that confident, but maybe they're just trying to just see what happens, you know, yeah. Because his what he did last year during the playoffs really put his stock up there. I think that they just, both sides weren't ready to have him, just for him to sign an extension, it seemed like, and they couldn't come to an agreement.
Yeah.
It also came off that horrible finals, and they didn't want to pay him any money. Then they got the max, yeah. Right? I'm just saying.
The playoff run, and then it came, outside of game one, yeah.
All I'm saying is this. By signing Al Horford early, almost for, like, no reason, because I don't think he was going to go anywhere. Like, now you're saying...
What do you mean for no reason?
Why do you have to...
make it short.
Why do you have to... What do you mean? Right now. You don't think that this deal could have...
Would you want to see them go the Tim Wakefield route and give him like a year or a new one-year deal year after year? That type of
thing? Yeah, that would have been great. Because I think that looking
at... What would have happened if that was the case? It would have been... You end up, instead of paying 10, you would have paid like overall for a three-year span, you would end up probably paying like 25 or something like that. You don't understand how that works?
Al signed through this year, right? Already.
Yeah,
it wouldn't have been $2 million, you know, or $3 million per. It would have been like $6 or $7 every year, which adds. You know what I mean? It would.
But he would have been an unrestricted free agent at the end of this year. That's what we're getting at, right? He would have been unrestricted at the end. So then we're saying that there's a team out there that's outside of the Celtics is going to pay Al Horford more than $10 million a year.
Yeah, there's teams out there that probably would.
Yeah, for 1 year and second year option.
I was going to say,
if not one of the rebuilding teams, one of these teams looking for a piece for
You think the Warriors would probably give him another 20, like, just for one season.
But, like, couldn't you just say to Al, like, hey, Al, like, we really want you on this team. We're going to give you $10 million on a one-year deal, like, going year to year to see how things go. If you go to free agency and you get more than that, just come back to us and we'll give you this, you know, whatever. Like, but like, there's not a team out there that I think is going to give Al Horford $20 million at age 38 and 39, $20 million that is actually a contender that Al would want to play for. Like, especially if they, let's say,
what about the Bucks?
Yeah.
But hold on. Like, let's say the Phoenix.
We just named two. Yeah.
Hold on. Let's say the season goes the way it's going in the
Phoenix. You don't think Phoenix would have that? They would throw some money at him.
Ooh,
what
yes.
The NBA championship.
You don't think Tim Tunas would appreciate a little Al Horford on the fucking Suns?
What if the Celtics?
Phoenix would take Al right now over Ayton. maybe not. But he would.
You get it.
He would help. He would help. You know, he just fits better. He fits better than Ayton.
Over fucking
Elves, and they won an NBA championship.
Biombo.
And then you could go to Al Horford and be like, hey, Al, we love you. We're going to give you 2 years at $10 million. We want you to come back. And Al's like, hell yeah. I've been playing in this league for since 2000 and goddamn 4 or 5, whenever he was drafted. And you know what? I finally won my NBA championship.
2004.
No, thanks. My hometown Disney. I just think that this was a little bit premature. We'll see how it plays out, but I don't know. But that's my 2 cents on it.
Well, I thought there couldn't be anything negative said about this, but apparently, you know, Ducha said, "Hold my beer," and you know,
no, yeah, no, now you do a podcast with this guy.
All right, and what? not what were you going to say? What were you going to say? Go ahead.
I'm going to hold my tongue.
Now. All right.
No, what you got? What?
Go on. I was going to say, what do you think? Spit it out. Come on, spit it out. What do you think Randy's saying about this whole thing right now, man?
I know, you got to tune into the radio to find out. Oh wait. Better yet, tune in to NBC Sports Boston when they go on the road, which is, you know, pretty soon, according to your looking ahead.
Get that in the holster.
What else you missed? All right. Last but not least, let's see if Sean can find anything negative to say about this here. Congrats to Jason Tatum, who just won Player of the Month for the Eastern Conference. And ironically, the West, that was awarded to Devin Booker. So Sean saying that Devin Booker's not getting any love, I beg to differ when it comes to Players of the Month here.
I would like to go back.
Book hater.
Go back to last year and see how many Players of the Month and Players of the Week Devin Booker got. And then there was no MVP talk about him. I would like to see that. I because he won it mad times, and there was no MVP love for that motherfucker. So that's trying to get at.
Okay. So with this recent Player of the Month, this gives Jason Tatum the second time he's won the award, and he is the third player in Celtics history to win the award more than once, behind Paul Pierce, who won it 4 times, and Larry Bird, who won it 7 times. In Celtics history, right?
I saw one of those random polls today on the internet. It was like, who's got the best?
Oh yeah,
pull up three pointer. T-Mac, Paul Pierce, or Carmelo Anthony?
Paul Pierce,
baby.
All day, baby, all day, all fucking day.
If you get that specific, Paul Pierce,
all fucking day, dude, all day. Money too,
right at the elbow.
Right, Jason Tatum also registered his 9th 30-point game in the month of November, which ties the most in the calendar month during his career. Only Larry Bird, who had 10 in March of 1986, and 11 in March of 88, has more 30-point games in the calendar month in Celtics history. Tatum also became the youngest player in NBA history to hit 900 three-pointers.
Insane. I love that.
10 years old, it's wild, dude. It's absolutely insane what this guy's doing, you know?
Yeah, by the way, Gorman said that so nonchalant on the broadcast, you know, after he made, I think it was the 7th three-pointer of the night. He was like, oh, and Tatum just became the youngest player in NBA history to hit 900 three-pointers. Oh, and, you know, here comes Jalen Brown down the court. I'm like, oh, what the hell? He just kind of just glossed over that real quick without, like...
Wait, what?
I just tweet this out, Mike. What's going on? and last but not least, Jason Tatum is the first player in NBA history to record multiple games of 45 plus points, 10 plus rebounds, and 8 plus threes. So, making some history here, Jason Tatum with his second Player of the Month award. Good for him.
Just historic, man. Insane what we're witnessing right now. He just makes it look easy. Man, you see the way he got that 20 point? In the first half, on the first quarter, rather, you know, for him to do that so easily, and for everyone just sitting here watching, being like, man, look at Tatum going on a tear right now. Like, we're getting so used to it that we gotta soak this in. Like,
for real.
We haven't seen something like this in a long time.
Yo, and yep. How can I forget too that his coach here just won Coach of the Month as well, and Tatum, yep, and Joe are the first Celtics tandem to win Player and Coach of the Month in the same month since Larry Bird and Casey Jones back in March of 1986. So,
yeah, like going back to the witnessing like greatness type. Seriously, in our lifetime, so like obviously there were the Birds here where you had arguably the best or top two player in the NBA. You know, with the Bird era was around with a team that really supported him well. And now, like, we've gone through this like the Paul Pierce era of the Celtics, which I think we all adore, like Paul Pierce. There was never a time where Paul Pierce, as much as I would have said he was the best player in the NBA, like obviously he wasn't. Like there was just like you had players in front of him, like whatever, right? The Celtics haven't.
Yeah, but he was top five. He cracked a top five every once in a while. But yeah, I hear what you're saying. He was never like the full fledged like either one or two.
And he was best player in the NBA. Yeah, and he was definitely like, you know, top five, top six, at least top 10 scorer, right, like for most of his time here in Boston.
Yeah, this is elite. This is the elite. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, the Celtics haven't had a guy that has been like the best player in the NBA where every night you are knowing, like, okay, he's at least getting 30 points. Like, even with Pierce, when he was balling out in his carrying the team years, wasn't averaging 30 points. Now it's a different league. Yeah. Everything, right? I get that.
It's more of a 3-point league now. Yeah, I get you.
Right, but what I'm just trying to say is, like, we need to embrace.
He was more of a 27, 28-point guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to embrace this way more than we are and really, like, respect the fact that Jason Tatum is the best player in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
And
he's doing it on both ends of the court. He's not just offense. I know he's averaging, you know, 31, almost 32 points a game, you know, 4.5 assists, you know, 7.8 rebounds. Like he's defending.
I agree with you. That's why I'm cutting
you off. Defending, you know, getting to the free throw line now more than ever. And like it's just, I'm gonna say it again. It's just a beautiful thing to watch right now. Just the way it is.
What I'm is like, yo, it seems like when Mookie Betts was the best player in the MLB, everyone was on the Mookie train, and it sort of seems like Tatum is like flying under the radar within Boston sports right now. Like no one wants to talk about how good he is.
Because it's not a, I mean, we've talked about this, or at least in my opinion, it's not a Celtics, you know, town. It's more Patriots and Red Sox. Even when both teams are, you know, not competing for championships, I mean, you know, the Celtics, they barely get a decent segment on TV, on local radio. But,
well, you know what I also think it's turned into as well?
Like even the Bruins are doing the damn thing, and they barely get talked about right now too.
Dude, it's bullshit. Everyone's talking about just the Pats because they're just middling.
And they're talking about the Sox because they're trying to figure out, you know, Bogart's going to resign or who are they going to bring in.
That's why, you know what? That's why everyone listens to the Causeway Street podcast for Tatum talk.
Baby. And on that note, that's going to wrap up this edition of In Case You Missed It. Follow us on all social media platforms at Causeway Street. Hit up causewaystreet.com for all your Celtics news, rumors, and opinions. Don't forget to also subscribe to Causeway After Hours at patreon.com/causeway to enjoy exclusive content such as the After Show podcast and the 101 with Sway podcast. Plus, you're automatically entered into our jersey giveaways. That's Causeway After Hours on Patreon, where we have some hot takes on the World Cup, still in the group stages right now as we're recording this podcast.
Wait a minute.
Great episode.
You know, but hold on real quick. Shout out to fucking Mexico, Costa Rica, and Canada for representing, you know, CONCACAF so well. Not because they fucking didn't advance.
Honduras would have got through.
There goes half of my takes right there. But, you know, shout out to the U.S. though for doing the damn thing. Fucking
I'm A. Still alive. Let's go.
Fucking A, dude. Argentina, baby. That's my pick to win this goddamn thing. But you want to listen to the rest of our takes? Go to our after hours and subscribe.
By the way, but I will just say it right now because I think it's a thing of pride. So, Duel, you took Argentina, obviously. Sway, who'd you take?
France.
And I got Portugal. And I think outside of Brazil, those are the three best teams in the World Cup still. You know who's I don't know why we don't consider them. We everyone ruled them out again this year. Croatia,
yes.
No, they're a good team. I watched a couple of the games too. Yeah.
They're a good team. They advanced.
Yeah, man, still going strong. These games and got a lot of soccer left.
Hold on, big moment for the USA. USA Netherlands. If you're going to beat the Netherlands, this is the year to do it, man. I'll put it that way, man. They're not as strong as they have been in the past. I think it's all about Pulisic. If he can play, then we're fine. And
he's good. He's good. He reported from the hospital bed. He's good. He's good.
He'll play. But I hope so, man, because he got kicked in the nuts hardcore.
That'll do it to you.
I love how it's a bruised groin that his thing is. It's like a
at bruised... first though. At first they were saying like, oh, it's like his pelvic bone. I'm like, nah, I don't know about that.
That's his nut sack, dog. That nut sack is the sack of nuts. I think that thing's throbbing still, dude. That's throbbing, dude. You know what I mean? Like,
all right, we gotta go. That's okay. We gotta fucking go. We gotta go.
I'd be surprised if they're not like, yeah, he's got a abdominal injury, because you know how that.
I know. They just changed it all up. They changed it all up. All right. Until next time, we are out. Peace.
Let's go, USA.
Later, guys.